Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two, brought to you by DraftKings. Hey, football fans, are you ready to score some free bets? Now you can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. When a team scores, you score. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Make sure you use code KSN. Bet just $1, that's $1 on either team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number two. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, we're still looking at that Penn State loss to Michigan on Saturday, 21-17. We were talking offensive line when we wrapped up last segment. And you were talking even between segments a little bit about Rasheed Walker seeming to start games slow. And we analyzed that first drive and how bad it was for him. But your thought is he actually played fairly well after that.
Well, yeah, so everyone remembers the bad plays on the offensive line. That's a known thing about football, right? That if you don't have any memorable plays as an offensive lineman, you probably had a good game. So everyone's going to remember the sacks. Everyone's going to remember the bad plays. But for the most part, they moved the ball. They had 86 plays. So there's a lot of nothing out there for Rasheed Walker as far as he kept the quarterback clean and he was able to have a clean pocket and let Sean Clifford throw the football. Now, later on the drive, on the same drive where he's having all these mental mistakes, Aiden Hutchinson tries to come inside on him, and he buries him in the offensive line. So he has high-end plays as well. He's always been capable of high-end plays. It's just the consistency. And once he settled down in the game, he provided a clean enough pocket for Sean Clifford for Penn State to move the ball into the red zone four times and be on the scoring territory in the plus side of the field another time. So Penn State moved the ball, they just couldn't score. And that's another aspect of the game is that, you know, for as bad as it was and as frustrating as it was, the really frustrating part is things were working against a Michigan defense that's pretty good. So it's just a frustrating, and I know I keep saying that, it's just a frustrating game to watch for a Penn State football fan. And from an analysis standpoint, it's like, just make plays. You're three quarters of the way there. Just make one more play, and you've won this game, and they couldn't do it. And give credit to Michigan. When they got in the red zone, they were also a very good red zone defense. They did things that anticipated what Penn State wanted to do offensively and then shut it down and gave things that I don't think Penn State was ready for.
Well, let's go into a little bit more with the specifics. I want to talk to you about Penn State's last possession. They're down 4 points. Yeah. They were given the ball. Well, I'm sorry. Let me do one last thing just quickly because we didn't go over this on our earlier show in the week. The game-winning touchdown for Michigan, I had multiple people reach out to me, listeners, and say, gee, they were so disorganized on defense. Why didn't they call timeout? My take watching it on TV was, yeah, they looked confused at first, but then they came set, like everybody was in set position. Yeah. But what it looked like was King ran into Michigan ran crossing patterns. Daquan Hardy got in the way. Shouldn't put it that way. It's not his fault, but they ran into each other. There were the two offensive players crisscrossing. The official was there. They ran into each other, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. It was a man coverage that they were trying to disguise. So the way that formation works is the tight end is the only player on the boundary side. And Penn State was trying to disguise because instead of putting a linebacker or safety over there to obviously key man situation, they put Kalen King on that side, which is typically an indicator of zone coverage. One single high safety, and you've got your corners on either side. Now, Cade McNamara is a smart quarterback, and this is where Penn State fell in this particular situation, is he diagnosed that, and they sent five. So he's been really good against the blitz. He's not a great explosive down-the-field thrower, but he'll take advantage of the things that you do in underneath coverage. And by the way, that crossing route is all they threw all game. I'm not kidding. That was the bulk of their passing game. So when you talk about how frustrating this game was, Michigan had one of the most basic, boring game plans you could possibly have. And because a freshman didn't have the proper depth on his crossing pattern to get to the tight end in single coverage, and he ran into his player, they get a 47-yard touchdown. And it's not as simple as that, because Michigan took advantage of it, and you've got to give them credit for diagnosing and tacking. But also a freshman made that mistake. So, you know, it is just... I said this during the game. It just felt like a game that Penn State wasn't destined to win, because things just happened that made it possible for Michigan to win, despite what they did, which was just be there. They were just there offensively, and that was it.
It's funny, in watching that game, I felt the same way. Destined to lose till the end. Penn State with the ball, 3.5 minutes left, all three of their timeouts. And one aspect to that that I think gets overlooked, T. Frank, is they were in four down territory from start to finish.
Yeah.
That is a tremendous advantage when you're trying to get a first down. Explain to me the play calling process, twice going to Brown on deep.
Cam Sullivan Brown,
exactly. On deep passes, low percentage plays. Then on third and two, I'm thinking, you know, it's two down territory. If there's ever a time to run the ball when you have two chances, then on fourth and two, you throw deep. Explain to me that process.
It's never that simple. It's never that simple, because the defense is also present and doing things. I would push back on the idea of you hit Jahan Dotson in the hands with a pass on third down. You can't call that a bad decision. He dropped it. So he dropped that ball in that situation, although he was going to get creamed, and that's what, and he did, and he had to come off the field. So I'm not going to say that it was an easy pass for him, but if he's the best or one of the best receivers in the country, especially in contested catch and possession situations. So you target him on third down to get that conversion. He drops the ball. You would have gotten it. Now it's fourth down. He's not on the field. He's not going to be back on the field because he's being evaluated, and that's what James Franklin said after the game. Keandre Lambert-Smith was benched for dropping the ball, so he's not in the game. So what you have left is Cam Sullivan-Brown, Parker Washington, and two tight ends. And calling a timeout is not going to help you get your best receiver back on the field, but what it can do is you see the formation, you see the alignment, and then you call a timeout because you know that the play you were in and the one they checked into is not going to work. And what Michigan did is, instead of sending an all-out blitz, they bracketed the tight ends. So the slant routes on that play, they sent defensive linemen to just hit those guys in the route. So they've got inside-outside coverage. So that leaves one-on-one with your receivers. And Parker Washington didn't get it through his break in time. He's trying to juke the guy out at the top of his break instead of just breaking hard and trying to get open. That leaves exactly one route open. There's no other decision at that point. And it is the go route to Cam Sullivan Brown. So give credit to Michigan for putting you in that situation. Now, their zone blitz is what caused the other throwaway on third and seven that resulted in a field goal. And again, that's not you're targeting Cam Sullivan Brown on that play. That's, oh, there's a linebacker. Oh, crap, I've got to throw the ball. And that's how you got into that situation as well. So Michigan was doing some things with good zone blitzes. And again, these are NFL-level concepts that Mike McDonald has brought from the Ravens. So these are not easy things to diagnose and digest, and Penn State was not able to do that. And if you want to call that coaching, that they weren't able to pick up those blitzes and make those plays, you know, that's more of a thing than, well, they decided to throw to Cam Sullivan Brown, which, by the way, was my analysis after the game as well. That wasn't necessarily, upon further review, exactly what happened. And I don't think that it was they intended to go to him that way. It's just how the play developed and what Michigan did to make that happen.
Well, my question, let's go just one step deeper if we can. I rewatched the play, again, stopping the remote at the point where Sean Clifford released the ball. He was a little bit under duress, felt he had to get rid of the ball. Nobody else was open. Cam Sullivan Brown was not open either, okay?
No.
But it was one-on-one. In fact, I stopped it as Sean Clifford released the ball, and Cam Sullivan Brown was still in front of, not beyond, his defender. The defender was all over him. There was no way in the world he was open. I guess my question is, in that play design, were there not other plays they could have run, other designs that would have been more about making 2 yards? It just seems like such a situation where...
So that one was... So that was, to give you the answer, that one was 3 slants and a go. So 3 of the 4 routes are all slants. And because of the blitz, you're bringing in your running back to protect. So you only have 4 routes. It's cover 0. You're hoping for, on that play, the corner falls down or he gets whipped so bad that you can throw the ball deep and there's no safety. So you can even just lob it up. At that point, too, you're also trying to get a pass interference call. The problem is, on that end, Sean Clifford put the ball out of bounds. So he's not good on that throw in general. I agree with you that just don't have that part of any play call you have in that situation. But two plays earlier, he almost hit Cam Sullivan Brown on that play. Sullivan Brown was a little slow. It was a little far. It was a just miss. The one to end the game was a huge miss on Clifford. Again, that's why I said, if you're in that situation and you don't feel confident with a play call, they must have felt confident with what they checked to. And Michigan just got him. Because I do believe they checked that play. The other thing is, you want to save those timeouts in case the fourth down doesn't work. But my counter argument to that would be, if the fourth down doesn't work, you're not getting the ball back. Michigan is going to sit on it. You're not going to be able to stop them. So call the timeout, get a better play. I would agree with that as far as the coaching assessment of that situation.
And rewatching the play, I felt that Sean Clifford, for that specific play, he made the correct read, but it still goes into that, you know, the first down. If he had completed that long pass to Cam Sullivan Brown, would all be cheering and happy about it. But I still don't think it makes it the right play. You know, with the situation you were in with so much time left and all your timeouts, my fear would be, hey, you connect and score that touchdown, you're giving Michigan too much time, you know.
Oh, it was never going to be a touchdown. It was just going to be whether they got the pass interference call. That's what we're getting to for me. And the other part that's tough then is you're then second-guessing a industry professional. And I know that everyone thinks they know better than the offensive coordinator, but really you don't. And if he decided that play call was the best in that situation, things play out certain ways that you don't anticipate every day in every job. So I guess that's where I land on that too.
That is it for quarter number 2. Stick around in quarter number 3. We're going to ask T. Frank. Who's ready to score some free bets? You can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.